Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I welcome you. Today, a very empowering hour. We're going to talk, of course, about health and nutrition, resveratrol, improving memory, and higher vitamin D levels linked with lower risk of premature death, and how vitamin E at higher levels associated with reduced hip fractures. And hepatitis is reaching historical highs, hepatitis C, mainly among baby boomers. Why and what can be done about it? And much more on health and healing. Then I'm going to address a few of the comments I saw yesterday on my Facebook concerning veganism. I don't know if these were just misinformed individuals or plants, but they were attacking the idea of veganism. So today, two reports. One from a gentleman who makes the best argument for veganism of any argument I have heard, plus saving the planet one meal at a time, Chris Hedges, Truth Out. Then I will look at something that is so important. Last evening we began a workshop on the brain, helping people with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and myasthenia gravis and other conditions, and depression. And I want to give you an idea of the approach that I take, and it starts with epigenetics. So today we're going to quote from the father of epigenetics, Bruce Lipton, from Epigenetics is a Science of Personal Empowerment, how understanding epigenetics can help an entire world overcome and prevent depression and anxiety disorders, as well as many diseases. It could save lives. The latest on those of you who eat grapes, and you should, because grapes are one of nature's most perfect foods. The skin and the seed is where most of the grape benefits are, so therefore having seeded grapes are better than seedless grapes. But again, it's not always either or, because the skin of the grape is also extremely healing. According to the journal Neuroscience, brain benefits for resveratrol, that's the compound found in red grapes and wine, but far more in grapes and grape juice than in wine. And here's how it works. For those who want to get their resveratrol from drinking wine, you're not going to get a great deal. You might get 5, 10 milligrams. That's good, but it's not really therapeutic. And when you look at the Mediterranean, you look at how much consumption of grapes, the actual grapes, it's common. Like we eat bananas and apples, they eat grapes. So that gives you far more. But then having the grapes squeezed into a juice, that's more concentrated. You get even more. And then if you take the juice and evaporate about 50% of the water, a grape concentrate, that's even more beneficial. And then if you evaporate all the water and get just a powder, that's the best of all. So from the wine, the least, eating the grapes, the next best. Even drinking the grape juice, next best. The grape juice concentrate, next best. And the powder, best of all. So you're getting resveratrol. In this trial, they took overweight individuals between the ages of 50 and 75, and they gave them 200 milligrams a day of resveratrol. You're not going to get that in any bottle of wine, by the way. And this was for 26 weeks, half a year. And a half the group was given a placebo, and the other half were given resveratrol, and they were given resonance imaging, or MRIs, of the brain, and other anthropometric measurements, like looking at memory performance, blood factors, and vascular markers, all of that before and after. And here's what they found. They found that participants who received resveratrol had better retention of words, better memory, and neuroimaging revealed greater functional connectivity of the hippocampus, which plays a very important role in memory, to several areas of the brain in the resveratrol group. So, what's the takeaway message? We now have more than 100 million Americans, nearly one-third of the population, who are over the age of 40. aging, which can be measured by biological markers, starts at 27. So by the time you're 27, based upon how we live, the environment, the food, the stress levels, we are already starting aging. And the older you get, the more your biochemical profile alters from normal to not normal. And this scares a lot of people. And then we start getting anxious, we get depressed, hair falls out, hair grays, wrinkles on the skin, bags and sagging, our gums recede, tooth get loose, lips thin. All these are part of premature aging. They are not a part of normal aging. And so if we want to age normally, we have to do the things that we talk about all the time. Get rid of the inflammatory agents. The colas, the pizzas, the hot dogs, the brown foods, the barbecues, the ribs, all the things that are highly processed promote inflammatory agents and chemicals that cause the cells to be aged prematurely. So it's a matter of discipline. It's a matter of changing our values. But if we do that, then we can live a longer life and be much more youthful into our older years. Another thing that can rejuvenate the brain is turmeric. Now, according to an article in Stem Cell Research and Therapy, the ability of aromatic turmerones, a compound found in turmeric, to increase brain stem cell proliferation and differentiation in cell culture and to encourage the growth of neuron regenerating areas of the brain is important. So that's what they found in this study done at the Institute of Neuroscience and Medicine in Germany. And it had a substantial improvement. Quote, in this case, it was culturing neuron stem cells in 6 different concentrations of aromatic turmerone over 3 days resulted in an increase in stem cell proliferation of up to 80%. Cell differentiation also increased in treated cells, and this was published in Stem Cell Research and Therapy. So, the takeaway message, turmeric, curcumin, on a daily basis, help stimulate brain cell regeneration. Now, something else that helps the brain is calcium. And it also helps the bones, but it also helps the heart. It helps stop death from all forms of problems. And this is the latest in a study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and it says the following. Quote, findings from a study examining the association between calcium intake and subclinical cardiovascular disease and diabetes not only failed to find an adverse effect for calcium on any measure of calcified plaque, but also uncovered a modest reduction in all-cause death over a 9.4-year period in women who supplemented with the mineral. In lay language, that means that the women who took calcium did not die at 500 milligrams, did not die in the same way other people did at the same time frame. And if you want to help dementia, a study in the peer-reviewed journal Neurology shows that vitamin D makes a difference. Quote, an analysis including 1,658 participants in the cardiovascular health study who did not have dementia, cardiovascular disease, or stroke upon enrollment, after 6 years, they examined it and found a 53% greater risk of dementia, 69% higher risk of Alzheimer's disease among subjects who had moderate to low vitamin D. In fact, you had more than double the risk of dementia for Alzheimer's among those with severe deficiency of vitamin D. So, you want to be able to have vitamin D every day. It can help prevent dementia. Also, testosterone replacement enhances aerobic capacity. This is from the International Society of Endocrinology, and the Endocrine Society looked at the testosterone in men, and when it's low, there's less opportunity for people to exercise. The more normal your testosterone, the better your aerobic capacity. also higher vitamin E levels associated with reduced hip fracture. This was published in Osteoporosis International, and they looked at men and women, and they looked at the amount of vitamin E they were taking, and they found that over a 7-year period, the individuals who took higher amounts of vitamin E had lower hip fractures by a high degree, 51%. So that's good information. I suggest taking vitamin E twice a day for several reasons. I suggest 400 units of mixed natural tocopherols and 100 units of tocotrienols because it does several things. First, it helps prevent blood clots. It's especially important if you're on an airplane, if you're a flight attendant, if you're a pilot, or if you're a passenger. When your legs are bent and you're at a high altitude, you increase your risk of thrombosis or clots in the leg that can go to the heart and cause cardiac event, or to the brain, cause a stroke. So by taking vitamin E, 400 units, every 3 hours you're in flight, that can help prevent that. Also, I suggest taking vitamin C and garlic at the same time. All that helps keep the blood flowing, thinner, and less likely to clot. Fish oil is associated with a brain volume preservation. This is from Alzheimer's Dementia, the peer-reviewed journal, and they describe in a study the protective effect of fish oil on maintenance of brain volume and cognitive function. The study included Alzheimer's patients and then individuals with mild cognitive impairment, and they found that the more fish oil, the better your brain is being preserved and better your functioning. And so that's the latest on these issues. Now, I want to address in the health and nutrition area today the idea of becoming a vegan. As many of you who listen to this program know, I believe that one way we can help address climate issues, global warming, the destruction of the rainforest, major diseases, including all cancers, especially cardiovascular diseases and diabetes, all related to our diet. And a lot of this has to do with the amount of saturated fats, the amount of animal protein, the lack of fiber, the lack of healing nutrients in the diet. Because if you're more likely to eat a big steak with French fries and white bread and drink it down with coffee, you're less likely at the same time to be eating fresh, organic, locally grown, healthy vegetables and fruits, nuts and seeds. If you do eat nuts, more often than not, it'll be deep fried in fat, trans fats, and heavily salted, and hence not providing you with the nutrition that a healthy raw nut, such as walnuts, pistachios, macadamias, Brazil nuts, almonds, pine nuts, all of these have. And rarely do you see someone who's eating the typical American diet then asking to start their day by putting a tablespoon of sunflower butter or pumpkin seed butter or any of the other seed butters or chia seed into a smoothie. So when you make your choices to eat the standard American diet, you're also, conscious or unconscious, you're also bringing disease into the process. You're also causing the destruction of animals. Chris Hedges has something relevant to say on this about his attitude of becoming a vegan was similar to Augustine's attitude towards becoming celibate. What did Augustine say? Augustine said, "God grant me abstinence, but not yet." I find this all the time in my audience. When people come and say, "I've been listening to you for years, Gary," all right, then the question is, what part of what you listen to do you find reasonable and applicable in your own life? It makes sense, but you haven't used it yet. That's why you're overweight or you have diabetes or heart disease. Well, I'm going to get around to it. All right? But when? Before or after a heart attack, stroke, or cancer? But with animal agriculture as the leading cause of species extinction, which most people do not care about but should, and water pollution, which people are indifferent to, as long as the average person turns on a tap and finds water coming out that they can get to drink, to cook with, to bathe with, they don't really focus upon the significance of clean water. They don't know about dead zones and habitat destruction. And with the death spiral of the ecosystem ever more pronounced, becoming vegan, healthy vegan, let me underline healthy vegan, is the most important and direct change we can immediately make to save the planet and its species. In fact, right now I am working with a young group, they're in their teens, and I think the oldest is 20, to start a worldwide movement that a year from last month, we will do Save the Earth Day by going vegan. And by that time, we will have articles, we'll have multiple documentaries, probably 30, 40 documentaries, where people can watch from different groups around the world. And we'll have a lot of work-ins where people will go to work and bring to that work environment some consciousness about the environment, what they eat, and how that impacts the environment. We'll have teach-ins. So we're going to make it not just a celebration of a day, because that means nothing. In my opinion, this last big 300,000-person march meant nothing. It didn't change anything. But we really want to get people off the grid. And animal agriculture is responsible for more greenhouse gas emissions than all worldwide transportation combined. That means cars, trucks, trains, ships, and planes. Livestock and their waste and gas account for nearly 32,000 million tons of carbon dioxide per year, or 51% of all worldwide greenhouse gas emissions. Livestock causes 65% of all emissions of nitrous oxide. By the way, that greenhouse gas is 296 times more destructive than carbon dioxide. Crops grown for livestock feed consume 56% of the water used in the United States. 80% of the world's soy crop is fed to animals. And most of this soy is grown genetically engineered on cleared lands that were once rainforest. All this is taking place as an estimated 6 million children across the planet die each year from starvation, and as hunger and malnutrition affect an additional 1 to 2 billion. In the United States, 70% of the grain we grow goes to feed livestock for human consumption. The natural resources used to produce even minimal amounts of animal products are staggering. 1,000 gallons of water to produce 1 gallon of milk. Add to this the massive clear-cutting and other destruction of forests, especially in the Amazon, where forest destruction has risen by 91%, and we find ourselves lethally despoiling the lungs, the earth, which is largely for the benefit of the animal agriculture industry. Our forests, especially our rainforests, absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and exchange it for oxygen. Killing the forest is a death sentence for the planet. Land devoted exclusively to raising livestock now represents 45% of the entire Earth's land mass. And this does not include the assault on the oceans, where 3/4 of the world's primary fisheries have been overexploited and vast parts of the seas are in danger of becoming dead zones. We can, by becoming healthy vegans. What do I mean by healthy vegan? An unhealthy vegan would be a teenager eating vegan pizzas and bagels and sandwiches, but without a consciousness of the health of the item that they're eating, just that it excludes animal proteins. So you could eat unhealthy foods, create disease, and support the big agri complex by eating unhealthy in a way. But if you're a healthy vegan, you're conscious of all the choices you make, wanting it locally grown, wanting it organic, eating what you need, not just your appetite. So if you are a vegan for the right reasons and the right way, then you're refusing to be complicit in the torture of billions of animals for corporate profit and can have the well-documented health benefits associated with a plant-based, especially in the area, diet of heart disease and cancer. Just look at President Clinton. Look at the fact that his doctors gave him a clean bill of health, and yet 3 weeks later he was rushed in for triple bypass surgery to save him. Now what's keeping him healthy is a plant-based diet. But it took nearly dying before it forced him to make that healthy choice. Look at former President Bush. Heart disease, Dick Cheney, heart disease. Now, these are people that prided themselves on being, you know, big meat eaters. Well, okay, they paid a price for it. And all the people believe that they're powerful people. They must have knowledge that is sacred and unique. Who are we to judge them? Well, we should be judging all people in power. Richard Oppenlander, in his book, Comfortably Unaware, What We Choose to Eat is Killing Us and Our Planet, draws the terrifying scenarios that lie ahead unless we change what we eat. He notes that we can save more water by refusing to eat a pound of beef, which takes about 5,000 gallons of water to produce. That's a pound. That's a one-pound steak, 5,000 gallons of water, than by not showering for a year and a half. That's how much we use for livestock. He writes, quote, "Your contribution to pollution begins with what you decide to purchase to consume. It's not just what the occasional purchase is about. It's with every food item you eat every day. With meat and animal products, the pollution associated with your choice is massive. In order to raise that animal for you to eat, there's baggage that silently comes along with it, silent to you, that is, although it speaks loudly elsewhere. In the United States alone, chickens, turkeys, pigs, and cows in factory farms produce over 5 million pounds of excrement per minute. Per minute. That's not quite as much as Congress does when they speak, but it's close. These are the animals raised each year so that people can continue eating meat, and they produce 130 times more excrement than the entire human population of our country. This manure sewage is responsible for global warming, water and soil pollution, air pollution, and use of our resources. And the waste produced by the animals raised for food includes with it all the antibiotics, pesticides, herbicides, hormones, and other chemicals used during the raising and growing of process. Accompanying this is methane released by the animals themselves, as well as carbon, nitrous oxides, and additional methane emissions producing this entire pollution. On any given acre of land, we could grow 12 to 20 times the amount in pounds of edible vegetables, fruits, and grains as in pounds of edible animal products. We are essentially using 20 times the amount of land and crops and hundreds of times the water, as well as polluting our waterways and air and destroying rainforest to produce animals to kill and eat, which is unhealthy, and we shouldn't be doing it," end quote. I might mention, as a person that spent my entire life in animal rescue, and I've had about 3,000 different animals dropped off at my ranch, and I get them back to health. They're frequently abused, abandoned, malnourished. And it generally takes 5 acres for 2 hoofed stock, meaning a cow or horse or buffalo. 5 acres just for 2 animals. And because they're grass eating. Do you know how much food you could grow in 5 acres? In 5 acres, you could grow enough to feed 10,000 people part of their diet every year in greens, depending upon how you grow it. So we're talking about 2 animals. And, of course, the idea was to get the animals healthy, which I did, and then find homes for them. In nature conservancies, the horses were taken up to Canada because they could then live the rest of their lives on this thousands-acre conservancy up there. But when I saw them, they were virtually dead. They were just bones. In fact, the vet wanted to put them down and said, there's no way to save these animals. And I said, I don't give up on anything. I'm gonna do what I can. And a year later, every one of those animals survived, thrived, got healthy, happy, and we found them homes. But could you imagine looking out from the Empire State Building Observatory, and if you put an animal side by side, you would not be able to see all the animals that were waiting to be slaughtered. That's how many we slaughter each year. And that's from the Empire State Building. That's how massive this whole feeding, breeding, and slaughtering apparatus is. The animal agriculture industry has used the excuse of national security and public safety and trade agreements and the need for business secrets to pass what are known as ag-gag laws in about a dozen states. And on the federal level, the Animal Enterprise Protection Act, all enhanced with anti-terrorism laws to criminalize anyone who investigates or challenges the industry. It is illegal under the Patriot Act to issue statements or carrying out actions that harm the profits of the animal agricultural industry. And yet, that's not on anyone's agenda to change. Let me put it a different way. Let's just say that you worked on a factory farm and you saw animals being fed toxins in their feed. And you knew those toxins would be passed on to the consumer. You could go to jail. The FBI would arrest you. And by the way, they would enjoy that. They love arresting people. They would arrest you as a terrorist, domestic terrorist, based upon the ag-gag rules, falling under the local terrorist rules. They brought it all under terrorism. So under one giant umbrella, you would be arrested, even though you would be trying to protect the public. Now, that tells you then that everyone from the President of the United States, Secretary of Agriculture, who's a pro-industry guy, everyone at the FDA, the USDA, the CDC, everyone in the State Department, Justice Department, everyone involved in how we deal with foreign or domestic products coming into the country, anyone who blows the whistle is considered an enemy of the state. You're the terrorist. You're to be gone after by all the resources of the federal government. And you were simply trying to tell the truth. What does it say about we the people when we don't want that truth told? Or at least those people who don't want it told, which is the majority of Americans. The people who vote Democrat or Republican. You know those people? People who watch Fox and MSNBC. Those people? The people who believe anything they're told? Those people? Yeah. Tells us a lot about ourselves. Six members of the group Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty were found guilty in federal court in Trenton, New Jersey, for using their website to incite attacks on a Huntington Life Sciences, an animal testing laboratory. They were charged with conspiracy to violate the Animal Enterprise Protection Act, and one of those charged, Andrew Stepanian, who has since been released, was held in isolation in a federal what is called communication management unit. Isn't that nice? Much like Charlie Sheen's character out of Apocalypse Now, terminate with extreme prejudice? No, that's a bullet in the head. No, terminate with extreme prejudice sounds better. Yeah, I guess it does. And so you're going to be spending the next 3 years in a communications management unit. You mean solitary confinement? Well, technically, yes, but we like it sounds better. Makes everyone feel better. Who's everybody? How about everybody in the prison system, the Justice Department, the prosecutors, the judges? It just makes it all better. All right, that's what you believe. Well, given the slew of recent laws that prohibit the photography of any, the photographing of or filming of any livestock being abused, you then are found to be the perpetrator of a crime, not the people who are creating atrocious conditions for the animal while they await slaughter. Don't expect politicians, all of them bought off by agribusiness money, to advocate for a diet that can have a massive impact on global warming. It's just not going to happen. So I do not believe in our political system. I think it's so corrupt, so broken, so compromised, it will never change. So instead of fighting what will not change, the rock is not going to move. Simply get off the grid. Stop eating the meat. Stop listening to their lies. Stop being a sponge for propaganda. And then you have power. And at least what you do that day will make a difference. There's a new documentary out called Cow's Piracy and the Sustainability Secret. Examines the power of the animal agricultural industry, which is one more massive piece of the puzzle in the corporate strangulation of the common good. And the film opens with Bruce Hamilton, the conservative director of the Sierra Club, laying out the dire future ahead of us. Here's what I challenge the Sierra Club. I don't support it. I don't support any of these major environmental organizations because where they will do something on the environment is what they don't do that's most important. None of the big groups will take on telling their members and advocating for veganism. That would do far more than anything else they're getting. But then you look where they get their money, and you know they're going to be compromised. Quote, this is from the director. The world's climate scientists tell us that the highest safe level of emission is around 350 parts per million of carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. We're already at 400. They tell us that the safest we could hope to do without having perilous implications as far as drought, famine, human conflict, and major species extinction would be about a 2 degrees Celsius increase in temperature. We are rapidly approaching that, and with all the building carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, we're going to easily exceed that. On our watch, we are facing the next major extinction of species on the Earth that we had not seen since the time of dinosaurs disappearing. When whole countries go underwater because of sea level rise, when whole countries find that there is so much drought, they cannot feed their populations, and as a result, they need to desperately migrate to another country or invade another country, we're going to have climate wars in the future. And without livestock and animal agriculture, I ask, quote, co-director, well, what about it? The refusal of major environmental organizations, including Greenpeace, 350.org, and the Sierra Club. I'm calling all three of them out. Confront animal agriculture business. Do it now. Chris Hedges reached out to Cohn in Berkeley and Anderson in San Francisco by phone. Quote, Chris Hedges, so many more people have a connection to animal agriculture, both in society and government, than have a direct connection to the oil industry, Cohn said. The oil industry employs, relatively speaking, a very small percentage of people and is controlled by a very small percentage of people. The agriculture industry, both animal agriculture and commodity grains fed to those animals, involves a much bigger demographic. Politically, it's a lot more challenging. Corporations such as Cargill, one of the largest commodity food corporations in the world, is able to create U.S. policy. The government says it needs to have affordable food, which means giving massive subsidies to these corporations. The belief of the public is that we have to eat animal products to survive. It is not something that is even questioned. The fossil fuel industry is more easily challenged with the argument that there are alternatives. People do not feel there's an alternative to eating animals, end quote. Why would we want to create laws that make it harder for us to know how our food is produced? No consumer wants that. They want greater transparency. This shows how in bed this industry is with the government. They can shape and dictate legislation. But when it came to saying, are you going to advocate it? The answer is the major environmental groups are not, though individuals certainly within them may. So that's one of the responses in the larger picture. So you've got a lot of the environmental groups working on specific issues, which are fine and needed and necessary and honest. But if all the environmental groups in America said we can do more to control global warming, we can do more to save the planet by going vegan than anything else imaginable, and we don't need the political participants of Congress, which are compromised, the White House totally compromised, big corporation, the media totally complicit, we can do it on our own. It's not happening. That's why you and I, as individuals, have to do it ourselves. Now, we're going to go right from here to hear someone make an argument for veganism. Listen carefully.
On behalf of St. James Ethics Centre, the Wheeler Centre, the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, The Age, the City of Melbourne and the ABC, all of whom have worked together to make this event possible, I'd like to welcome
Philip Wallen.
King Lear, late at night on the cliffs, asks the blind Earl of Gloucester, how do you see the world? And the blind man Gloucester replies, I see it feelingly. And shouldn't we all? Animals must be off the menu because tonight they are screaming in terror in the slaughterhouses, in crates and in cages. Vile, ignoble gulags of despair. You see, I heard the screams of my dying father as his body was ravaged by the cancer that killed him. And I realized I'd heard those screams before. In the slaughterhouse, their eyes stabbed out and their tendons slashed, on the cattle ships to the Middle East, and the dying mother whale as a harpoon explodes in her brain as she calls out to her calf. Their cries were the cries of my father. And I discovered that when we suffer as equals. And in their capacity to suffer, a dog is a pig, is a bear, is a boy. Meat today is the new asbestos, more murderous than tobacco. CO2, methane, and nitrous oxide from the livestock industry are killing our oceans with acidic, hypoxic dead zones. 90% of small fish are ground up into pellets to feed to livestock. Vegetarian cows today are the world's largest ocean predators. The oceans are dying in our time. By 2048, all our fisheries will be dead, the lungs and the arteries of the earth. Billions of bouncy little chicks are ground up alive simply because they are male. Only 100 billion people have ever lived. 7 billion people live today. And yet we torture and kill 2 billion sentient living beings every week. 10,000 entire species are wiped out every year because of the actions of one. And we are now facing the 6th mass extinction in cosmological history. If any other organism did this, a biologist would call them a virus. It is a crime against humanity of unimaginable proportions. But happily, the world is changing. 10 years ago, Twitter was a bird sound. WWW was a stuck keyboard. Cloud was in the sky. 4G was a parking space. Google was a baby's burp. Skype was a typo. And Al-Qaeda was my plumber. Victor Hugo said, "There is nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come." Well, animal rights today is now the greatest social justice issue since the abolition of slavery. Do you know there are over 600 million vegetarians in this world, and that is bigger than the United States, England, France, Germany, Spain, Italy, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, all put together. If we were one nation, we would be bigger than the 27 nations of the European Union. Can you believe that? And despite this massive demographic footprint, we are still drowned out by the raucous hunt and shoot and killing cartels who believe that violence is the answer when it should not even be a question. Meat kills animals, kills us, and is killing our economies. Medicare has already bankrupted the United States. They will need $8 trillion invested in Treasury bills just to pay the interest, and they have precisely zero. They could shut down every school, Army, Navy, Air Force, Homeland Security, Marines, CIA, and FBI, and they still will not have the money to pay their doctor bills. And our Cornell and Harvard say that the optimum amount of meat in a healthy human diet is precisely zero. Water, as you know, is the new oil. Nations will soon be going to war for it. Underground aquifers that took millions of years to fill are now running dry. It takes 50,000 liters of precious drinking water to make 1 kilo of beef. Today, 1 billion people are hungry. 20 million people will die from malnutrition. Cutting meat by only 10% will feed 100 million people, and eliminating meat will end starvation forever. If everyone ate a Western diet, we would need 2 planet Earths to feed us. We've only got one, and she is dying. Greenhouse gas emissions from livestock is 50% greater than transport, as Peter said. Cars, trains, buses, ships, lorries, the whole lot. And as I travel around the world, I see poor countries who sell their grain to the West while their own children starve in their arms. And the West feeds it to livestock so we can eat a steak? Am I the only one who sees this as a crime? Believe me, every morsel of meat we eat is slapping the tear-stained face of a hungry child. When I look into her eyes, do I remain silent? The earth can produce enough food for everyone's need, but not enough for everyone's greed. We are facing the perfect storm. If any nation had developed weapons that could wreak such havoc on the planet, we would launch a preemptive military strike and bomb it back into the Bronze Age. But it's not a rogue state. It's an industry. The good news is we don't have to bomb it. We can just stop buying it. Sir George Bush was wrong. The axis of evil does not run through Iraq, Iran, or North Korea. It runs through our dining tables. Weapons of mass destruction are our knives and forks. Our proposition is the Swiss Army knife of the future. It solves our environmental, water, human health problems, and ends cruelty forever.
And that's Philip Wollen, W-O-L-L-E-N, in a speech entitled Animal Equality. The full speech is on my website. You can listen to it, watch it. I remember my first book on vegetarianism was Protein for Vegetarians. It was a monster hit, and it was mainly young people. Today, the people becoming vegans, young people, teenagers in particular. My hope is we'll get the older people to get out of their comfort zone and to make the shift. We're going to take some calls later on this very topic. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. If you'd like to share your thoughts on this, please do. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. And I'm going to put a call out. We have a bunch of people tomorrow at 10 a.m. who are going to go look at some new offices. And if they're drivers in the audience, give us a call at 646-926-5422. We could use a couple cars, two or three cars, at 10 a.m. because we're in the process now of, over the next 3 months, moving our offices. After 20 years where we're at, we are getting some new ones. I'm going to be doing a major one-month expose of the forces that control our lives. And it's called The Crimes Of, and then you fill in the blank. Big oil or energy, the corrupt governments, agencies, education, all the different big agra, Wall Street, pharmaceutical companies. And this is something that those of you who've asked repeatedly, oh, you'd love to come by and do some research. This you can do anywhere in the world. And since we're broadcasting over 170 countries, here's the idea that do your homework on each one of these. Take a topic, one single topic. Let's say it's crimes of Big Pharma. Find out how many lawsuits Big Pharma has settled. It doesn't matter whether they said they were guilty or not. That's a game they play with the Justice Department. But what were they charged with? How much did they pay? And how many victims of Big Pharma are there? That would be a good research to do. Or the same on Wall Street. Why is this important? Because these are the very people who are invited repeatedly to make the laws. From these groups come all the heads of all of our departments, Department of Energy, the Secretary of Treasury, the Council on Economic Advisors, all come from Wall Street. None of them are progressive, not one of them. This is where the Larry Summers comes from and the Paulsons. So we have to show how corrupt all of these are, all of them. There are no exceptions. They're all corrupt industries. And yet they have the power to make the law. They are the ones interviewed. They're the ones who are giving us the ethics of how we proceed And I believe it's time that we took him on. Now, we're going to be doing this, and we've done a lot of research, but if you'd like to jump in and help out, give a call at 877-627-5065. Tell us where you're at. What are the topics you'd like to research? Okay, we're going after the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the World Trade Organization, and the history of partnerships and globalization, such as NAFTA, GATT, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, etc. It'll be about 10 different topics, and in 3 months, I'll broadcast all of them in a special. So that way, if you want to jump in and help out, you can. If not, we'll get it done. Something else right now that I want to talk about for a few moments. As you know, the WBI Fund Drive is over, and we're all happy about that. And the trouble is, it did not make enough money. Historically, in two weeks, we would earn about $1.1 million. In 5 weeks, we'll earn only about $300,000. Now, how much of that actually comes in, who knows? It's just not enough to pay the bills. Too many bills, too little income. So what we're doing to help the station is in January, for 2 weeks, starting the second Sunday in January, I'm going to do an annual health retreat that we do as a fundraiser for the station to help the station out. So this way, people know they're going to get their premium because the premium is the Sleepaway. Now, what's going to happen there? Well, you're going to get beautiful weather, probably in the 80s. Meditation at the beach. You're going to get yoga, breathing and sound and healing, juicing, wonderful lectures, counseling, cooking classes, juicing classes, meditation, de-stressing. For people who are stressed, this is going to be very important for you. And also for people who are just need to be in a better place, better mood, and be around positive people. So that's what is going to happen. And it's going to raise lots of money for the station. And that, my hope is, will pay for the transmitter bill and the payroll coming up. So I'm going to play you some of the people who have been at the last one that we did to give you some idea of what their experiences are and how it impacted them. And you can come. It's 2 weeks. I'm going to be there for 2 weeks. I'm there every day lecturing. And for people who want to lose weight, de-stress, get energized, personal counseling, eating right, great classes all day long, nature at its most beautiful and sublime, that's what it's about. Let's hear from some of the people who were at the last one.
All right, my name is Pedro. I'm from Staten Island, New York. I've been wanting to come to the retreat for some years now. It culminated at the right year, right time. This experience has been so unique. I've never been one to run. I've never been one to get up at 5 in the morning. Not only am I getting up at 5 in the morning and running, I was actually falling behind all week. And this morning, I actually was the leader of the pack. In fact, I was probably about 2 blocks in front of everybody else. Didn't break a sweat. So that really impressed me. Also, Gary did some energy work on me. It makes sense now, but all these emotions came rushing out. A lot of mixed emotions, but after the fact, I just felt cleansed. It was a cleaning of the mind, body, and soul. I must have lost about maybe 8 pounds by now. Between the yoga, the pool, exercising, it just brings you back to life. You're brand new again. You're reborn. If I had to do it again, it's not even a matter of having to. I would love to do this again. I actually recommend this to everyone. The food is absolutely amazing. I don't think I've ever gone 2 days without meat. It's been 7 days, and I don't miss it. There's nothing about chicken, beef, ribs. I just don't miss it. I basically wiped the slate clean in my life. This is a brand new beginning. And I thank everybody for co-creating this experience with me. Thank you.
My name is Mike. This has been one of the most exciting movements of my life that I've ever experienced. I've never felt like this in my world, in my whole life. The amount of energy that's been flowing through me, the experience that I've had with amongst people, it's something that you can't put a price on. This is one of the most beautiful moments in my life that I've experienced. The food is outrageous. This is all new to me. I'm not a vegan. It looks like I'm turning to a vegan, which is a good thing. I've never tried this type of food before. This is all brand new. And the amount of energy is unbelievable. And walking, I've never walked 4 miles a day in my life. We've been doing this every day of the week and with no problem. The energy is here. I mean, I feel very blessed to be here. Thank you, Gary.
My name is Lillian, and I came here lacking a lot of energy, and my energy has really been restored in this bucolic setting. I'm simply amazed at what Gary has done here. Exercise, power walking, yoga, nutritious food and beverages, lectures from Gary in the evening, so much information to take back with me and to share with others. I'm so appreciative, Gary. Simply amazed.
My name is Adam, and I've been here for a week now at Gary's amazing retreat. It's hard to put into words the experience because it's been so overwhelmingly phenomenal. Everything about this place is pretty much magical. What Gary's done is just brought all these wonderful, incredible elements together in such a beautiful, harmonious way. I've learned a lot from just being here. The people that are here are wonderful. They're positive-minded. They want to make changes. There's a purpose here, and it's a very positive purpose. And I feel honored, and I'm very grateful to Gary and the staff for having this. It's been an overwhelming gift. The food is absolutely amazing. I love to cook, and I cook a lot of dishes, but not the healthiest versions of them. And this week, I've been inspired to really study vegan cooking and take my cooking to another level. I feel energized more than I've ever been. The running has been great. I'm not used to running 4 miles, and it felt today like it was almost effortless. And I know I've lost some weight. I don't know how much, but I feel much lighter and much happier. Gary's lectures are phenomenal. His insights and wisdom is just nourishing. It's very, very powerful, the things that he has to say, and I'm just enjoying my experience here very much, and I think it's something that's going to be life-changing for anybody that decides to come.
Those are just a few of the people giving unsolicited and uncoached statements about after the last day they were there. Also, we're going to be getting a winter vortex, an Arctic vortex coming down. It's supposed to be far worse than what we've ever had in the past. So at a time when everyone's going to be freezing, you'll be saying, nice to be warm. And if you want to join me, it's limited. I only can work with so many people. We have a wonderful staff, artist therapy and meditation, Tai Chi, cooking classes. If you want to come, and this is a fundraiser for this station, that's why we're doing it. I'm donating my time. I'm going to tell you how you can call. And the person you're going to speak with is Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann. Luann there? Do we have Luann on?
There I am. Okay.
Hi, Luann.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Luann. Luann, give the number for people who would like to come for the special retreat starting this second Sunday in January, going for 2 weeks, though some people can only get away 1 week. But it's a great way to start the year. It's a great way to detox. It's a great way to get in a good mood. It's a great way to, as the one guy said, he's wiped his slate clean starting over. It's a good way to start over, especially if you've got anxiety and depression. If you're suffering and confused, because a lot of the answers to life's issues are going to be discussed that week. What's the number they call?
It's 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198. And I interview everybody.
And here's what's nice. The entire cost, except for your airfare, all the costs, everything included, is $2,000. Now, that may seem like a lot, and for some people it is, but for all those other individuals, some people were giving $2,000 to go and sit and watch a radio show and have lunch. think of all this for $2,000. And this is a fundraiser for the station. So a lot of people are contributing their time in order to make this happen, to help the station in its hour of need. So we're interested in seeing BAI survive and thrive, and so this is one way we can do it. So give a call now to Luann, because we are limited and every retreat we do is packed. So give a call now, and this way you have adequate time to get an inexpensive flight. You can get very cheap flights, and just you're going to be in a very warm weather, and New York is going to be very cold, New Jersey, Connecticut, very cold, and so we won't be. And you'll be starting the year off right. Give the number again, Luann.
It's 631-504-6190.
Thank you, Luann. Let's say hello to Arnold from Peekskill on what's up, Arnold? What would you like to discuss with us? Hi, Arnold. You're on the air. Is Arnold there? No? He's gone. All right. Well, we're out of time. And on the next program, I'm going to deal with the epigenetics of science, of personal empowerment, going over how we end up getting ourselves anxious, depressed, making bad choices, even though we know we're smarter than the choices we're making, and doing things that are self-sabotaging. It's all in the environment. Now, that's something else that's important because Bruce Lipton goes into this in some depth. Let me just read this one page from Bruce Lipton's Epigenetics, a Science of Personal Empowerment in Resurgence Magazine. Quote, science recognizes that stress is directly responsible for up to 90% of illness. In response to stress, the body shuts down growth processes, inhibits immune function, and restricts executive conscious processing, collectively impairing the health of our bodies and our performance in life. Stress is especially exacerbated when individuals perceive themselves to be powerless in facing impending challenges. A particularly disempowering and stress-provoking belief held by the public is the notion that genes control biology and, to a large extent, the character of life. From early school through basic college courses, the media, and personal experience with family linkages, the public has been imbued with the belief in genetic determinism, the notion that genes turn on and off and control our fate. And then he goes on to talk about how we are not and should not be victims of our heredity. And that if you allow that belief that, well, you made some mistakes, you did drugs in college and or after college, or you did, you know, you got in the wrong relationships, or you did something that you shouldn't have done in retrospect, that suddenly makes your genes, you're telling the genes that you're a bad person or a stupid person, or you did something wrong and you should be punished. And hence you're putting the whole idea of limitation in your genes. You shouldn't do that, because also you can put cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and dysfunctional traits into the gene. You can end up with ADD, depression, anxiety. All this is not about running in your family. It's about you having the ability to determine what you want instead of having it determined for you by the inherited genes, and therefore making the gene work on your behalf. So by thinking the positive thoughts, by living in this moment, not trying to change the past moments, you could spend the rest of your life talking about what happened in your past and how you're a victim of it, and you will be a victim of it forever and always depressed. Or you can be in this moment and say, in this moment, I am more healthy, happy than I can imagine, and I'm going to stay that way. All the choices I'm going to make about living mindfully in this moment are mine to make. And therefore, the science of epigenetic control literally translates to control above the genes, meaning the mental environment, the physical environment that you live in, the people that you allow in your life, the emotions you choose to share, the food you eat, everything that you choose each day will empower the epigenetics of healing and make the genes work in a positive way. And that's what we need to get out of these conundrums that we're in. We keep traveling back to relationships that failed, to mistakes we made, to things we shouldn't have done, and beating up on ourselves. And every time we do, we just reinforce the negative epigenetics, and we stay depressed, anxious, and socially isolated. We're very lonely as a society. So we need new environments, positiveness, and certainly I suggest that we all start on her own journey of rejuvenation, of cleaning up our life by focusing upon the past is the past. Learn its lessons in a constructive way, but stop reliving its battles. Stop fighting yesterday's battles. You're never going to win them. And that's how we have to go into today. And there's a whole lot of neuroscience that shows this. We can control a lot of what our brain releases into the bloodstream. Dopamine, oxytocin, and growth hormones, and neurosecretions that enhance cell vitality by having positive, healthy thoughts. That people always have a smile. People are trying to find the way of expressing their love. Those are the people who are going to live a longer and healthier life. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more on tomorrow's program. Now let's say hello to Utrecht Lead. Hi, Utrecht.
Hello, Gary. Today we're talking about Ferguson, Missouri, public policy, and the sundown town. We'll understand what sundown means. And we're talking about the Detroit bankruptcy trial that ended on Friday with the judge saying the exit plan is okay, but major battles loom ahead.
Utrecht Lead right now.